All right, would you grab your seat, hit the recliner button. Not really, don't hit the recliner button. But again, welcome to Vertical Church Milwaukee. If you haven't met, my name is Jesse, and I'm the lead pastor here. And it's so fun to be able to worship with people and just exchanging scripture and just kind of, I got to hear little bits and pieces of what God was doing in each of your lives. That's an honor to be able to be a part of something like that. And I want to encourage you to do that on a regular basis. We're going to be talking about discipleship a lot and kind of what God has called us to do this morning. But one of the best ways that we can minister to one another, minister to other people, is to use scripture and share the scripture that God is working in our life with other people. And so, you know, if we walk out today and half of you are sitting out there with your Bible open, encouraging somebody from a passage that I never even came close to touching today, that's a wonderful thing. And so I want to encourage, let's do this often. But again, welcome. And this morning's a couple quick announcements before we jump into the message. This coming week, this next week, we are switching theaters. We're not like buildings, but we are going from 4 to 6. And so if you walk in here and you sit down in your normal seat, and all the people who are missing this Sunday morning are going to come in here next week and be like, where's my? If you come and see, we're not going to be here. So you can pray for us if you're in here, but you're not going to hear like the worship and the preaching. So we're going to be over in Theater 6. And along with that, this morning and the next coming weeks, we're going to be doing a series. I'm going to intro it in a minute here, but called Vertical Essentials. And if you've had some friends who've you've been inviting, you've been talking about this church plant to them, kind of trying to give them a picture of what this is going to be, this is a series you want to get them to, because we're going to be talking about the mission this morning and then going into our different pillars in the coming weeks. And so make sure you're wanting to get people here, because this really tells and lets people know who we are, what we're doing as a church. Along with that, we have the third week in January is we are having our Connections class. That's an opportunity if you've been coming for a while and you're interested in taking the next step and learning a little bit more, or you have a friend who's come a few times, bring them along to this. It's at our house right after church service. We serve a good lunch and we tell you a little bit more about what it means to be a part of this church and ways you can be involved. Along with that, on the end of your row is the connection folder. If you take that out, fill it out. On the bottom, there's a prayer request. We want to be praying specifically for you. We firmly believe in the power of prayer. And so if you would take that and let us know how we can be praying for you specifically, those get emailed out every week to our prayer team, and we want to be praying over you. Along with that, the guys are going to come down and take the offering, but we pray before we do that. God, we come before you, and Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to give to you, to worship you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together as a body. God, we thank you that you have given us your Son, Lord, so that we can have a relationship with you. And God, even though we don't deserve it, you allow us to be used in your plan. God, we pray just for a lot of the different families who are out sick this morning. God, I pray that you would be with them, encourage them. And Lord, I pray that as we dive into your word this morning, Lord, it wouldn't be my words, but it would be your words. And as I just talk about, Lord, the mission that you have called us to, God, I pray that you would transform our thinking and our minds. And God, you would produce action from this. And God, that you would build this church because of the discipleship process, and because that, God, that you have changed us, and we are using that to change other people. And so, God, be with us this morning, God, as we take our tithes and our offerings, and let us give joyfully. And God, use us for your glory and your mission. In Jesus' name, amen. So, God, I'm going to take the plate, or pass the plates, or the bags. I guess we have bags. And the other way you can give to, if you don't give that way, is our website, Vertical Church Milwaukee. You can go there as well. But like I said, we're starting a series called Vertical Essentials. But before I get there, you know, when you look around today and you start to kind of understand our culture, what's going on, there's so much noise. I actually don't remember me. Gabe, you and I might have been talking about this. But I was having this conversation with somebody else the other day. There's just so many messages and so much noise going on around us, trying to vie for our attention, vie for our time and energy. You know, there are so many things, and the church is not far off from this. You know, you hear the message, you know, this is what's going to bring you fulfillment. And this is where you will find comfort and peace. And if you take this, or if you do this, or if you go here this many times, and you know, there's still all these messages. You flip on the TV and it's commercials. You open up a magazine and everybody tells you how you can make your life 1,000 times better. Or you go to this conference or that conference, and some of them are good, some of them are dumb, but, you know, whatever. But there's just, it's just noise. And then a lot of times you go to church and it's not that much different. You know, you hear this message of, you know, we have this program for you. Let me tell you about this program. Or, you know, we have this way and this way and this way to meet your needs. And if you do this path, everything's going to work out for you perfectly. And we have all, and you know what? Church programs aren't bad and they're helpful at times, but it, a lot of times it just becomes noise. You see, as a church, we can't just be part of the noise. We can't just join the club if we're going to make any difference in our world and our culture today. But instead, if we're going to make a difference, we have to move out of the way. We have to move out of the way. And we, if we're going to make a difference, have to stop trying to be the main attraction and start letting God be the main attraction of His church. You see, church is for God, about God, through God, for the great glory of God's Son. And anytime we put ourselves in place of God or try to take the place of what only God can do, all we do is become a distraction. And what we want to do as a vertical church is we want to say, hey, we're going to step back and here's God. And when a church can get to that point, when people walk into that building and it's full of the presence of God, that's when we're changed. That's when difference starts to happen in people's lives. When it says, hey, we're going to step back and we're just going to point to what God is already doing. That's a vertical church, and it takes work to get there. It takes work to be a place. And we'll have programs. We're going to be doing small groups. I'm going to be talking a lot about that in the coming weeks, and we'll do different things. But ultimately, our goal is not to get people to do this or that. Our goal is to say, hey, look at God. Look at God. Look at our main attraction. That's why we're continually trying to grow in our worship ministry. That's why Gordon grows in his capabilities and things like that, how to put a worship set together, because he doesn't want to be the traction. He wants to work hard at pointing to God's great glory as he picks songs. And as we develop children's ministry, it's not about how great it can be, but it's do our kids see God? As we develop our Sunday morning services, it's about displaying God. The worship of His Son, unashamed adoration. The preaching of God's Word, unapologetic preaching. The praying for the power of the Holy Spirit, that's unceasing prayer. Telling other people about the work that God has done in our life, unafraid witness. All of these things point to God and who God is. And so as we go into the series, Vertical Essentials, we're looking at the different pieces that make a vertical church so that when people come here, they don't come into the presence of vertical church, they come into the presence of God. Because that's what's going to change people. And so this morning, we start with the first vertical essential, and that's a vertical mission. That's a vertical mission, a mission that's not about us, but about God. Not about us, but about God. And you know, you guys ever try to multitask? Like, I try to multitask, I end up spilling my coffee typically. But, you know, a lot of times we think multitasking is a good thing. We try to see how much we can do in any given period of time. I'm going to have my phone open and my laptop's open, and I'm taking notes here, and I'm having this conversation here, and I'm emailing that person there and making sure Ellie doesn't jump off of a table into something else. And, you know, we try to do all of these things, and everything's going on around us, and what really happens is we end up not really doing anything well at all. Ashley and I just started watching this, so I think, Becky, you told my wife about it. Last night we tried it, and it was this tidying up show. And it's like right up Ashley's alley. Oh, my goodness. But it's all about this one. It goes to this Asian lady who goes to different people's houses and teaches them how to tidy up. And one of the couples that they engaged with yesterday, that we were watching yesterday, they were trying to do so many things, and these two little kids, And she's like complaining about not being able to do two little kids. It's like, ah! But, you know, and they were trying to do all of this stuff, and they couldn't. Their house had just fallen apart because there were so many distractions going on. And they couldn't keep care. They couldn't keep track of anything because everything was just piled on. And a lot of times what we need to do is we need to take a break. So it's time now, hey, we got to get back to the main thing. We got to get back to the thing that's the most important. That's what the mission is. And we look at our church and we look at our life. We have to understand the main thing is the mission that God has called us to. And that's the mission that we use here at Vertical Church Milwaukee. And it's we glorify God through the fulfillment of the Great Commission. We glorify God by making disciples. And a lot of times we get so distracted in our life about all the different things that we do that this kind of gets pushed off to the side. But if we are going to be doing this as a church, this just can't be a statement on our website. This has to be a lifestyle you and I live every day. This has to be a lifestyle where we say, you know what? Everything else is shaped by this. My call is to glorify God by making disciples. That's what my life is about. And so the two things that we're going to cover today is, the first thing that we really need to understand, the start of being vertical is about glorifying God. The start of being vertical is about glorifying God. You know, we ask questions all the time. Our world does. We do. Why are we here? What's the point of this? You know, why were we created? You know, you go and you start to have any type of conversation with anybody that gets deeper and deeper and deeper. It comes back to these big questions. And this glorifying God really does answer all of this because that's what we were called to do. Every heart longs to find an answer. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Your purpose is to glorify God. Well, no. Come on, Jesse. Serious? Yeah, I'm dead serious. That's why, you know, you think about, we want to be around people who have influence. We want to be around people who we think deserve our glory. That's why we like meeting famous people. That's why we want autographs of this person or that person. That's why we go to football games or baseball games or concerts, because we want to be in the presence of people who we think deserve it. And we want to give them glory. Our heart desires that. That's actually longing for God. Yeah, just think about like Oprah Winfrey. Okay, everybody and their mom wants to go to the Oprah Winfrey show. I actually tried once. And I got denied. But, you know, everybody wants to go to the Oprah Winfrey show. And most people would really want to, most people would really want to sit in a room with Oprah, just talk to her, just have a conversation with her and tell her how much she's changed their life. You know, a couple years ago, when David Letterman was ending his show, he had Oprah Winfrey on his last show or one of his last shows. And I remember I didn't watch David Letterman very often, but I watched that one because it was his last one. And he just broke down and started crying. I was like, what? Because Oprah Winfrey was so much greater than him because she had done so much. And he kind of like was regretting. You should go back and find this. This is a fascinating interview. But he was almost regretting how he did his show as he had Oprah Winfrey on because she did all of these good things. And he went on and he just spewed and spewed, even though it was like his last show. He just talked and talked. Why? Because there's something in us that causes us to want to be in the presence of somebody greater and give glory. And that's a longing and a desire for God. Look at Genesis 1 real quick with me. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. It says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on earth.' So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and every living thing that moves on earth.'" Now that's the passage. I've read this a few times. I'll probably read it a bunch. I go back to the time and tell me why. Because this tells us, why were we created? We were created, it says, let God, or let us. It's kind of a fascinating. He uses the plural term us, the Trinity's all the way back in the very first chapter of Genesis. But God says, let us make man in our own image. After our image, let us make man. God created us to look like him and reflect him. We are God's highest created order. We share attributes with God himself. Why? Well, he tells us in verse 28. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. That's God's command throughout the Bible. Go out and be fruitful and multiply. Take my image and multiply it over all of creation. That's what we do. We are a mirror that takes God and reflects God to this world. That's what God's glory is. God's glory is making himself known, showing bits and pieces of himself to us. And one of the greatest ways he did that is through creating us. And you and I, we share different attributes. We're not God, but we're God-like. And we can reflect God to other people. And then when people give us praise and glory, we reflect that back up to God. That's what we were called to do from the very beginning of time. We were called to be in God's presence and then show that to other people. And that's why this is a vertical mission. It's not about coming and being in the presence of Jesse or being in the presence. No, it's being in the presence of God. Come here. Come see God's glory so that you can reflect it to other people. Come see God's glory. That's what you were created to do from the very beginning of time. And it didn't stop there. Okay? 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in all his splendor and holiness. Isaiah 48:10-11 says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake, for my own sake. He repeats that. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do it for my glory, and I will not give it to another. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body. 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks with the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength of God, or by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, this is the key running throughout all of Scripture. We are called to glorify God. That is your and my highest calling. And a lot of times we say, oh yeah, I believe that. I know that I'm called to glorify God. I know that. But when you look at our life, you just take the time and you pull up your calendar on your phone, or you check your daily schedule, and you check how you spend, you know, how I spend my time or energy, the things I send, you know, spend meditating on throughout the day. Does it really look like that? Does my life really look like I believe that I am called to glorify God? That's the greatest call on my life, is to glorify God. And we really, if this is going to become a culture in our church and something that we really believe and see happening in other people's life, it starts here. We have to understand, God, you have called me to glorify you. And every time your heart longs to be in the presence of something greater, okay, I guess he'd give Brad a hard time next week. He skipped church today because he's at the Chicago Bears game. And just tell him, hi, how'd you like worshiping those Bears today? But they tell him we love him. But anytime we go to things like that and want to give praise and glory and honor to things that are greater than us, really that's a desire in your heart to be in the presence of God and to reflect God's glory out. And the more we start to groom ourselves, hey, I am created for God's glory. I am created to reflect God's glory. I am created. That starts to set a pattern in your life. And a lot of the other things that are creating noise and taking space in you start to be pushed away. No, I'm about God and his glory. The starting of being vertical is God's glory. But then the second thing is that we best glorify God by making disciples. So how do we glorify God best? We glorify God best by making disciples. We glorify God by best by making disciples. Look at Matthew 28. And a lot of you guys, we've gone over this before. I'm going to go over it again and again and again. Why? Because this is our calling. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, it says this. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, this is really a command. A lot of times we act like this is a new command. And, you know, this is Jesus. He came down, was born, died in our place, took our place on the cross, was put in the grave, and then was resurrected from the dead. And then he took some time and spent some time with his disciples. And he was getting ready to hand off his ministry to the disciples. And he was getting ready to start his church. Every church was started from that moment. And this was God's command to them, getting them ready to start the ministry that Jesus was going to use. But you know, a lot of times we think, well, that's a new command, but it's really not. Okay, it really is a command found all the way back in that Genesis 1 passage that we talked about. When God was saying in Genesis 1, "Be fruitful and multiply," what he was talking about is making disciples. He would say, take my image over all of creation. Take my glory and spread it over the thing that I have made. You know, he's in the context of the Old Testament, he's talking a lot about families, raising up your children so that they reflected God, so that they knew God and continue to multiply and show people who I am. And when you get to Matthew 28, he's just clarifying that and giving it a greater context. Because now you can do it through the power of Jesus Christ. He's saying, listen, go make disciples of all nations. And this really is the best way to glorify God. Why? Because when we make disciples, we are teaching them to look and act like God. You know, God's not just filling his world with a bunch of statues, but he's filling his world with a bunch of people who've been miraculously changed by the power of Jesus Christ. And when people are looking and trying to look through the noise and the chaos of this life, and they can't see and see, no, listen, I'm changed not because of all these messages you hear, but because of God. Because of the work of Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about the work that he's done in my life. Let me share some scripture with you that has changed me forever. And as we make disciples, God's glory goes out, because when somebody comes to know the Lord as their Savior and is discipled into looking like God and to being God-like, and then they go out and make more disciples, it is spreading and spreading and spreading, and people get to see God and see God's glory and see people changed because of God's great glory. But he gives us a couple of things we got to do. You know, he tells us right here a couple of commands. And the first thing he does, he actually gives two commands side by side, because there's some important things we need to understand. He says, go and make. And there's a distinction between those two, okay? Why? Because the first thing he says is go. Okay? This isn't something that just happens by itself. If we just live our life normally, this will never happen. Okay, the church today in America is doing a really bad job at making disciples because we don't go. We think, oh, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to grow in my understanding of God's glory. I'm going to grow in my understanding of sanctification and this and that. And people will come and ask me questions, and maybe after this or this or this. No. This is an active participation in our life. We have to make an effort to make this happen. Churches don't do this because they don't go after it. This has to not just be something we say, but it has to be a lifestyle. Well, Jesse, how do I do it? We just do it. And I'll come back, I'll talk about some things more practically of what it looks like to make a disciple. But you and I, we have to actively look at our life, that this is a calling on our life. You know, I was talking about this earlier with the team, the setup crew this morning, as we're spending a little bit of time praying. But this can't just be a part of our checklist. You can't just look at your things you have to do today, and going to make a disciple is just one small part of that. Do you see, making disciples, that phrase go, that's a go for your entire life. And so as you understand your checklist under your life, that falls under making disciples. Well, I have a job. Great, go make disciples there. Well, I'm playing soccer on Monday nights with my team. Great, go make disciples there. Well, I have this hobby that I'm doing. Great, go make disciples. I have kids. Great, go make disciples. Everything falls under that heading. This has to be a complete shift in our understanding of who we are. We were created to glorify God, to make disciples. And that's what we do. That is what we do. And he says, go therefore, make disciples. Then he gives some indication of what he means by making disciples. He says, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, he's being very specific. This is the God of the Bible. Okay, there's no other God that you can baptize, and that baptizing is the public proclamation of Jesus Christ. Say, hey, I believe in Jesus. When we are discipling, okay, the first step of discipleship is evangelism. The first step of discipleship, a lot of times we try to break this up. Well, this is evangelism, this is discipleship. No, stop. Okay, it is the very beginning. You need to know people who don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, and we need to be actively pushing them towards the God of the Bible. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name. Our goal is to get to the point where we can ask them, do you want to receive Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Go, therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then he goes on and he says, teaching them, go make disciples of all nations. I missed that part. Go make disciples of all nations, because that means everyone. That means everyone. And it doesn't mean like, well, I get along with that person, and I get along with that person. That guy's really hard. That coworker, that neighbor, that sibling, that schoolmate, that person deserves Christ too. Listen, we all deserve hell. Our sin separates us from God, and the only thing that makes a difference is the fact that God himself, in the form of Jesus, came down and took our place on the cross and paid our penalty so that we can now have a relationship with God. We can't earn it. There's nothing that we can do to deserve it, and that means because there's nothing that we can do to deserve it, and it can be only Jesus, that every other person deserves it just as much as we do. We can't be like, no. God says, go make disciples of all nations. When we get to heaven, it's going to look vastly different. It's not just going to be white or Asian or African-American or European. No, it's going to be everybody. And it's not just going to be smart people or good-looking people or athletic people. No, it's going to be everybody. When you look around, hey, that person, they're part of the nations. We need to be actively looking. We live in a great city that is full of different races and social classes. And this is just an awesome opportunity to go and make disciples that are going to look like the kingdom of God. But it says everybody. So that means we are looking everywhere. But then also taking opportunities to be able to minister to other people. We had the opportunity to bless Paul and Molly Uvarov. We want to be a part of that. And we talked about that last week. And some of you maybe down the road might get called to go serve somewhere else far away. Great, do it. We're called to all nations. Make disciples of all nations. And he says, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And that is, that we're teaching there, that's not a classroom teaching. Praise the Lord. It's not classroom teaching. The classroom teaching is good. I highly recommend it. But that is a life on life teaching. That is a, hey, come follow me as I follow the Lord. That is, I'm learning how to follow this book. I've learned practical things for people above me. Come follow me as I try to live this book. And you're not really following me. You're following the Lord. But this is a life on life. It says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. That's inviting people into your life so they can see the messiness, so they can see the blessing, so they can see the things you've worked through, the things you haven't worked through, the things that God is teaching you, the things you need to grow in. It's an active part. It doesn't matter if they're followers of Jesus or not. You want people to see what you are doing and see God's work in you and see, hey, this is a sinner who's been saved by God, who loves them desperately. There's a miraculous change going on in their life time and time again. And we need to invite people in to see that this is a come follow me as I follow the Lord, teaching them to observe all that I've committed. And that requires us to be spending time in this book. That requires us to be learning and growing and allowing the Holy Spirit to move and work through His scripture in us. That requires us to be allowing other people and for us to be asking for other people to be investing in us. But then we need to be actively looking for people to go do that in ourselves. This is what we do. We are called to glorify God by making disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded. You see, Jesus can do this. Why? Well, he says it before. He says, listen, I've been given all authority. Why have you been given all authority? Because he bought us. He bought us. When you and I sinned against God, it separated us from God. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, we looked at that several weeks ago. We talked about Genesis 3. We separated ourselves from God, and we could no longer have a relationship with God because God could not be around sin. God is a perfect and holy God. That's what makes him God. And because of Jesus, Jesus came down and gave up his perfect life and lived here and now amongst us and died for us in our place, taking the wrath of God that we deserved. And so when Jesus says, listen, I'm telling you, this is what the calling of your life is. We say, yeah, you're right, it is. Why? Because he paid for our life. He paid for our life. And so we have to continue to remember that. And we have to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you've called me for your glory to make disciples. Yes, Lord. And so what do we look like there? What does that practically look like? Well, we want Vertical Church Milwaukee to look like a place that's making disciples. This is so fascinating. I was reading an article even this morning that one of my old professors published or put out, I guess. He's big into discipleship making. And you know, he's talking about how a lot of times churches are flip-flop from what Jesus did. And he had this kind of funny graph in it, but it was very challenging where he showed one side was a funnel above the world. I should have gotten it, but it wasn't high resolution. It would look terrible on the screen. But it was a funnel above the world, and it showed you know the big congregational gatherings on Sunday morning. And then some people are growing, and then some people are giving and serving, and then just a few people are discipling. There's just a little bit of discipleship coming out. And there's so much work going here, 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 and it comes down in the produce. But when you flip it over and you look at what Jesus did, Jesus really ministered to three guys. Three guys. And then there's the 12. And when you look at the New Testament, then there's like the 70. And then when finally, Jesus left and sent his Holy Spirit, and then like just this outpouring of discipleship happened. Just multitude upon multitude of people got saved. And he was trying to make the art. Why? Because it was about people. It was about discipling people. They understood that their whole mission wasn't a program. We're going to do programs. Programs aren't bad. But their whole thing was about leading people from the understanding of themselves to God's glory. That everything we do is about going after people, because that's discipleship. And so what we need to be doing is we need to be actively thinking, listen, Lord, you have called me to do this. I need to understand my life in context of the mission, but that means I need to be involved in people's lives. I need to be making effort of making relationships. And we want to be, I always challenge people to have three types of relationships when it comes to disciple making. Have somebody where you don't, or somebody that you are continually praying for and working on, not working is a terrible term, but continually praying for and ministering to that doesn't know Jesus, that's far from Jesus. Make sure you have a relationship with somebody who does not have an understanding of God. And you want to be continually spending time with them, getting to know them, letting them see your life and your family or your roommates. Then you have a relationship with somebody who is maybe newly saved. Somebody who is just starting to learn what it means to be a Christian, where you can say, hey, come follow me as I follow the Lord. Somebody who you can start to teach them all that God has commanded. And then that means, thirdly, somebody who has now been in ministry for a while and ready to start reproducing themselves and take on people of their own, where you are kind of sending them off. And we want to be actively having all of those people on a regular basis in our life. Well, just they don't have that. We'll start praying for it. Start writing down names of people. Start going after people. That doesn't mean you like, hey, I'm going to start discipling you. And maybe you do. I don't know. But you can be discipling people without ever telling them, hey, I'm discipling you. Just go get to know them and spend time with them. You know, we disciple by understanding that people need God's word. That's one of the reasons why we were reading scripture today. People need God's word, and people need it in simple ways. You want to start discipling somebody? Get to know them and start helping them read scripture. Start helping them understand. Read small portions. Give them scripture to memorize. And understand people need life-on-life relationships. You know, if you are going to disciple somebody, that means you are building relationships with them in a way that allows us or allows them to be able to see your life and you see their life. That they need to see God's word and read God's word, but then they also need to see it in our life, and we need to help them apply it to their life. We need life-on-life relationships. That's why small groups are so important. And then we need to be teaching other people to keep doing this. This doesn't stop there. But when you start discipling somebody, your goal is to see them disciple somebody else and continue to multiply that. And when we do this, and when we do this well, our church turns into something that's really beautiful, kind of crazy. It's two things that the Bible really kind of gives us imagery for. And the first one is a hospital. When we do this well, and we say, hey, we're going to make disciples, you start to view the church as a hospital. It's a place for a bunch of sick people. Jesus told that to the Pharisees when he went and sat down and was hanging out with Levi. And the Pharisees were like, hey, why is Jesus? And in Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, you look it up and they say, hey, why is he sitting down? Why is he sitting down with a bunch of sinners? And Jesus says, listen, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sick. And, the ironic thing for that is the only righteous person is Jesus himself. And the Pharisees, along with us, are sick. And when we start to understand our life in the context of discipleship, and we start to understand our church in the context of discipleship, the church turns into a hospital. They say, hey, come on. Come on, sick. Come on, poor. We got something. It's not us. It's God. And we start inviting people in, and it becomes a safe place because everybody else understands, hey, we're just a bunch of sick people who God's transforming into his image. But then it also becomes a family. It also becomes a family because then when we go into a hospital and we get healthy and God starts to work on us, and then we need the stability of people to come around us and to grow in us where we do life on life. And if we're going to be people who are about discipleship, we got to be ready to be a family, to care for people, to come around people, to walk next steps until Christ comes again. And so, Vertical Church will walk, and we look back in a year, 2 years, 3 years. You know, my prayer is that we can look back and we can see a bunch of people who, we have this program or that program, but we got a bunch of people who are on fire about discipleship, who our church every Sunday morning looks like a hospital because there's so many people coming in broken, desperately needing the Lord. When we walk out on a Sunday morning and there are people opening up their scripture and reading it to other people, when there are people putting their hands on each other and praying for one another, when there are people who are continually coming back, asking for prayer because they know there's nothing else in their life, that's what we want to be, because that's making disciples. And then we look back next year, we can start to see what God has done through small groups and see the family that God has put around. When we see people who have never been able to break through certain things are because they have a family around them. They have somebody discipling and people coming into and investing in their life. This is who we are. And this is what we do. We glorify God by making disciples. And this really needs to be a culture shift in our own life, in our own families. We really need to stop saying, Lord, hopefully this happens, but Lord, we need to make this happen. Lord, you have given us a mission. You have allowed us to be in your presence. And now we need to be making disciples of you because that's what you have been called to do. And a lot of us, you know, I can't tell you. You have conversations all week. And Satan's coming after people in this church. And Satan doesn't want to see this happen. And there are a lot of people who are struggling through different things and working through. Ashley and I are right in that boat. But you want to see God's glory in one of the greatest ways? Don't let that wipe you out, but use that to make disciples. Let other people in. Let people see what's going on. Go before. I'm learning to pray like I never have before. And that's because Satan's coming after. And when God teaches us those things, we need to let other people in. And my encouragement to a lot of you, because I know a lot of what's going on in each of your different lives, I've had different conversations throughout, use that to make disciples. And don't just be like, oh, Lord, what is going on? But Lord, let me use this for your glory and your kingdom. And then just take some time to watch God use that. Because we are about making disciples. We glorify God best by making disciples. That's what it means to go vertical. Not us. God, we move out of the way and say, this is what God is doing. So Gordon's going to come back up. We're going to sing one more song. And my encouragement to you, even as we're singing this last song, just take some time to pray. And just take some time this morning and to really, Lord, show me where I need to transform and shift my life so my life becomes about discipleship. And then start praying about, Lord, who are my people? Who are my people? Who do I need to start sharing my life with? Who's my friend who doesn't know the Lord? Who's somebody who's new in their salvation? Who's somebody who I need to be helping get ready to start reproducing themselves and other people? And maybe you don't have all three. Maybe you have one. Maybe you have two. But write them down and start praying for the rest. And then start, how can you get together with these people this week? Who can you get together with? How can you meet up with that person? How can you have that person over to your house? And start inviting God to be a part of that even today. Lord, show me who you want me to disciple. God, we come before you. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. God, we thank you for your word. And God, it's even just encouraging just to hear all the scripture being read over one another earlier. God, I just pray that that would make an impact on our life. And God, I pray that we wouldn't stay here. God, I pray that even the scripture that we were encouraged by this morning, Lord, that we would be able to take out and go use to encourage other people, to disciple other people. And God, we pray that we would be a church that is about making disciples. Lord, that we would understand that our call is to glorify you by making disciples. And Lord, that you would change that in us, Lord, that we wouldn't be about our glory or other people's glory, but it would be yours again, that we'd be seeking your presence on a regular basis. But God, then we would use that then to show your glory, what you are doing to other people. And God, I pray for stories even this week. God, I pray that as we come back next Sunday, Lord, that we'd be sharing stories in the foyer in this room about the way that we were able to invest in and start sharing the gospel with, pushing people to your word, God, seeing people reproduce. And God, just give us this conviction. And God, we pray that this church would grow because we're making disciples. And God, we thank you that you use us. God, a bunch of broken people don't deserve you. But God, you continue to use us. And so, God, take our worship, take our praise.